Welcome back. We are in Esther chapter 3, verse 9. Let's go. Esther chapter 3, verse 9. So we've got King Xerxes ruling over the Persians. He got rid of his last queen, Vashti, because she dishonored him, even though I think she was right to do so. He got Haman into a point of power, and this guy was like that boss that you didn't like. And he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And Mordecai, a Jewish person, refused to bow down. Mordecai had been quiet about his faith in God, but now said, I'm not going to bow to you because I'm a Jew. And Haman, to get even with him, instead of having Mordecai just killed or imprisoned or something, he said, you know what? I'm going to convince the king to put out an order to kill every Jewish people in all the land. This is probably millions of people. King Cyrus, when he came into Babylon, had let and helped the Jewish people go back to Israel to rebuild their temple, but only a fraction of them went. The majority stayed behind, either because they were scared, they didn't want to start over, they were comfortable, or they were wealthy and didn't want to give up that wealth. But regardless, they decided to stay here, which they probably should not have done. And now Haman is trying to have the king, King Xerxes. That's the king who the movie 300, about 15 years ago or so, was made after. And here he's wanting them to get all wiped out. And the king agrees to this. King's like, yeah, if they're different than us and they have different laws, go for it. So that's what's going on here. So verse 9, if it pleases the king, let a decree be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who do the work to bring it into the king's treasuries. So what he's basically saying is, we're going to take the spoils of war and we're going to pay it to the people who do all this killing and all the work to kill the Jews. You're going to be rewarded. So there's an incentive to go out to do this. Just like in our society, there's an incentive for people to do bad things. There's an incentive for people to sell drugs that kill people. Fentanyl, heroin, and the like. Why? Because they're going to get paid along the way. There's an incentive for people to cheat because maybe they can get away with it and they think the risk is potentially greater, or the risk is potentially greater than that reward of jail time or whatever it is, right? Here, he's incentivizing these people to go out and kill the Jewish people. And different commentators say how much money this is, but apparently it's a lot. Some said it's, you know, someone said it's $30 million. Someone said it's about two-thirds of the entire revenue for the Persian kingdom over a given year. So at any rate, it's a lot. Some say it could have come out of Haman's pocket because he was wealthy. I don't think there's any way that he was that wealthy, though it's possible. And maybe he had a, you know, tech startup back then, whatever that could have been. But I think more likely it's just saying, hey, we're going to pay you. We've got some, you know, money to pay you, but when you kill these Jewish people, you're going to take all their stuff. It's called the spoils of war. You're going to bring that back into the governmental coffers, and then we're going to pay you a handsome rate for doing the dirty work here. So I think that's what's going on. And verse 10. So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the money and the people are given to you to do with them as seems good to you. All right, so the king takes his ring. And this is like an official signing ceremony like we might do today with a notary or witnesses or a judge or something like this, right? It's something that they would typically take a ring that they would have or would wear, and they would stamp it into wax, and they would seal letters and the like with it. And it was just a formal, just think of like a notary stamp. It was a very formal way to say, this is legit, this is a decree, you better obey this or else you're going to have huge consequences. So that's kind of the seriousness of what is going on right here. And he gave it to Haman, and it says who Haman is. It says he's the son of Hammedatha the Agagite. And this is a long time enemy of the Jews. Saul was actually supposed to kill his ancestor, refused to do it, and now it's coming back to haunt the Jewish people. So there's these, I want you to think about this, there's these generational wars going on where people seek vengeance from many generations ago. That's what we're seeing right here. Haman is seeking vengeance against the Jewish people because Haman's ancestors were almost wiped out by Saul, who was Jewish. And so he's holding this grudge over generation, over generation, over generation. He's like, I'm going to get back at you, right? It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys type of story or something like. It just goes on and on and on. So here's the question for you. Actually, two questions. One, is there anyone in your family or certain group of your family that you need to either reconcile with or simply forgive and move on? Right? Because maybe there's someone that comes to mind when you're thinking about this generational problem, this vengeance. Is it another family that you were with? Is it two sides of the family, like divorce sides or step-in-law type sides or something like that you need to reconcile with? Make that peace. Number two, is there a generational sin that you need to conquer in the name of Jesus? Right? I hate hearing this. It's like, it's just a problem in my family. It always has been and it always will be. No, that is a victim mentality. That is a loser mentality. That is someone who just wants to give in to darkness and sadness and never triumph, never conquer, and never let Jesus rule them lives and conquer that sin. So here's what I want you to think about. What in your family can you stop right now, right here today, by your decision and taking action? Decide and do. Decide and do. Decide what you need to conquer in the name of Jesus. If it's something in your family, is it anger? Has that been a generational problem that you need to stop right here? Is it alcoholism? Boom, that's a big one. Too many people say, my grandfather's an alcoholic, my mother is an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, that's just the way it is. No, you can stop that. It's absolutely a choice. Is it jail time? You have a lot of people in your family who have gone to jail. Is it divorce? Is it like, we just come from generation after generation of divorce, and you need to say, no, it stops right here. I am not getting divorced. No matter what happens, I am going to let Jesus rule, and we are going to work through anything and everything. Is it loving money more than family? That is a problem in a lot of families in America today. Or they love themselves more than they love family. So they do everything for themselves. It's like, dad always golfed and hunted and fished and this and that. He was never around, so I turned out okay, so I'm going to do the same. No, choose family. Choose relationships over selfishness. Choose to be selfless, not selfish. Is it pessimism? That's something that can affect families for generations. They just grow up in this pessimistic society and the world's against them and blah, blah, blah. And they just let that rule their thoughts. No, what sin has affected your generations that you have the power to break right here and right now? I can tell you for me, one of them is Catholicism. My dad's side of the family was Catholicism, and that has ended with me. Catholicism is now done and out of the family with me. I will lead my family in a verse-by-verse Bible church and verse-by-verse biblical values outside of the Catholic Church. So that's one thing that I'm ending. Think about what you could end that starts with you and ends with you, because you have the power to do it, and especially in Christ. All right? Verse 12, then the king's scribes were called on the 13th day of the first month, and a decree was written according to all that Haman commanded, to the king's satraps, to the governors who were over each province, to the officials of all people, to every province, according to its script, and to every people in their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus, and again, we think that's King Xerxes, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring. And the letters were sent by couriers into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and one day on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their possessions. A copy of the document was to be issued as law in every province, being published for all people, that they should be ready for that day. The couriers went out, hastened by the king's command, and the decree was proclaimed in Shushan, the citadel. So the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. We have one more minute to finish this. This decree, this letter, went out to all people. It was in many different languages. It was very thorough. This wasn't just go out and kill them. This was a massive campaign to kill every last Jew and to take all the spoils of war. Go in and take all their money, their possessions, anything they have, their jewelry, their stones, their money, their food, their couches, everything, right? And it says to annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. So they literally, this was just going to be a giant witch hunt, not over a period of time, but on one day. This is massive. There are said to be millions of Jewish people living there at this time, right? So that means you would probably need, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people going out and hunting the Jews, right? Just awful, sad. But this is the decree that is going out, and it says to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate. That was their intent. What does the enemy come to do? He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's almost word for word from, you know, the New Testament, going back here in time to the Old Testament with Esther, where it says to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate. In the New Testament, in John 10:10, it says that the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. So two of those three words are identical. That's the enemy that the devil has always wanted to do. Very sad. You saw the Hitler try to do this at a later point. You're seeing a lot of people in the Middle East try to do this. Right now we've got the war with the Palestinians going on with them. Everybody wants to annihilate the Jews because they're being led by the devil. It is satanic. Okay. Now, lastly, notice this. It says, so the king and Haman sat down to drink. Sat down to drink? What? This dude is just continuing to get drunk, right? The last time we read about him getting drunk, he tried to call on his wife to, you know, do a sexy parade around his other people so he could show her off. And she was like, no, that's not right. So in his drunken decision, he had to have Vashti put out, right? He lost his queen, and he may have really liked her and loved her. He thought she was beautiful because he was trying to parade her around his other peeps. But drinking is getting him in trouble, and he continues to do it. Question for you, and we've talked about this many times, is drinking getting you in trouble? Has it ever gotten you in trouble? I think the answer is yes, right? It's bad for you physically. It's bad for you emotionally. It's bad for you spiritually. It's bad for you financially. Why would you want to continue to do it? Stop it. You can stop it. Maybe that's the generational thing. You just need to stop. And you've never stopped to think about it, and you're like, or you could say, hey, you know, Mike and the church is always saying, stop drinking. I don't want to, I like drinking. I'm going to, so you're going to choose alcohol over God? Does God say you can't have a drink? No. But we've talked about this so many times. It's bad for the witness, bad for the pocketbook, bad for you financially, bad for you emotionally. It can cause someone to stumble. It can cause for you to get loose on your language, to get loose on your temper. There's just so many things that I see go wrong with alcohol, just left and right. So I just stopped it. I know that you can too, if that's something you're struggling with. Lord, and lastly, the application, probably the application, well, there's several applications, but, trying to find one best takeaway. I think it's just the generational curse. What's something that's gone on for your family for a long time that you can stop? Alcoholism, anger, jail, divorce, anger, pessimism, something like that. Lord, help us all to look at the past just briefly, not to live in the past, not to go out and with some psychologist and relive it and hash it out and go back there and find something that probably didn't even happen, but just to say, what's something there that is not a good habit, that is a bad thought process? I need to stop right here and right now. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, help us to change and be better for your glory. We only get one shot at this life, Lord. Help us to use it for your glory, not for our own. In your amazing name, amen. This podcast brought to you in part by the Portfolio Protection Store, where smart investors go to protect their life savings from stock market losses. Visit our website to register for our webinar, theportfolioprotectionstore.com. The webinar is about portfolio protection and safe money ideas for ages 50 plus. Visit theportfolioprotectionstore.com. Located in Austin, Texas, license number 288-7886.